WGN, Terry Savage, the money lady. TerrySavage.com's in our studio. She's also posted about scholarships this week. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Let's take a break from the action of the market for a second and from the earnings reports of the day and some really upsetting stuff you were talking about before. And let me switch back to personal finance, because if you or your probably your child or maybe even your grandchild is headed off to college this to high school this fall, a high school senior, rising seniors, or anyone headed back to college, this is the moment to be applying for scholarships. Now you say, did I make a mistake? I'm talking about kids who are just going into their senior year. Head right over to a website called scholarships.com. There are actually a couple of places where you can register. This is Forbes pick. It's the most comprehensive one, scholarships.com. Because this is the time, the last few days of summer, when if you register and you put in all kinds of stuff, where your parents work, where you were born, it might be because of you have an unusual last name. They ask for all kinds of things about you, your ethnicity, everything. Don't be afraid to put that in. It's free. And then they will send you scholarships for which you might qualify. And in this column, at scholarships.com, actually, you could see the winners. I wrote about a girl who got $130,000 worth of scholarships. Now, this is free money, but it's not easy money. For many of these, you have to write an essay or you have to participate in some school events. They all have different characteristics and criteria, but they will send you lists. And this is what you should be doing those last few days before back to school, is thinking, I could write an essay on citizenship. I could write an essay on whatever is required. And, you know, a $2,000, a $5,000, maybe even $10,000 scholarship, that can really add up. Free money. And of course, if you're going back to school, a freshman in college, sophomore, junior, you might want to also be looking at free money and billions, I'm told, by Kevin Ladd, who's head of scholarships.com. Mm-hmm. Billions goes unused, uncollected, because people don't make the effort to apply. Consider this like a computer game. You know what I mean? If you're a kid, this is how well can you score? How much can you collect? It's doable.
262 has texted in, Terry Savage. It says, John, I had a dream last night that Terry Savage visited our home in Lake Geneva to give me financial advice. Terry has made her way into our dreams. Heart-shaped emoji.
Who sent that?
One of our listeners. But what I want to know is, was the advice any good? Like, did she say buy or whatever?
I don't make midnight visits, but I do spend some time in Lake Geneva at my favorite store. Hey, do you like what I'm wearing today?
Yes, it's a lovely beige blouse.
I walked in there on the way.
Jacket.
It's a jacket with, yeah. Do you like the necklace and everything?
It's beautiful
and the top.
Black. Yeah, and
it
black.
Was all hanging there in the Cornerstone shop in Lake Geneva. Call this a commercial. And I looked at Karen, the owner, and I said, see that, I think that's my size. I'm going to take it. And I'm wearing it.
Bought it right off the rack, right off the mannequin.
She had it all put together with the necklace and everything.
That's nice when they sort of put the whole thing together.
Let's take a picture, because I'm looking good because I was on WGN TV this morning. So let's take a picture and post it so people will know what I'm talking about. It's a Cornerstone shop in Lake Geneva, my favorite store in America for clothes.
We're going to have to charge her for that.
Yeah, you will.
Can we just jump into some calls from our listeners? Let's start.
But who was it from Lake Geneva that thought I came to their house?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
They didn't give a name?
No, why would they? Tony, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Tony?
Hi, Terry, John. Hey, Terry, we just finished a trust on an email I had sent to you based on your advice. We got the trust all done, and our trust lawyer gave us our binder and said, you know, down the line, maybe when you sell your house or something, they may ask you, they want to see your entire trust. But you are only required to give these pages to them, and he showed us the pages. Well, now we just went to our Chase Bank here in Elgin. We had all our bank accounts, the beneficiaries changed to our trust name, and we needed to open either a savings in the trust account or a checking in the trust name so that if we ever sell the house, the money goes, we can get the money out. They want to scan in my entire trust.
Well, that is wrong. So you send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. Let me back up to something you said. So let me start at the start. Your attorney is absolutely correct. Your trust document is going to say things like, you know, Aunt Ellen's silverware, the 82 pieces of sterling silver are going to go to my daughter, Susie, and my hunting gun shotgun collection is going to my son, Billy, and none of that is any business of the bank. Your attorney gave you the appropriate three, maybe four pages called the empowerment pages that says there is a trust. It was set up on such and such a date. You, Tony, and your spouse are the trustees and that the trust exists. That is all the bank can legally require. So so you should absolutely tell them that. Tell them that the replay of this podcast will be on
WGN. What did they say?
I just had a big argument with their branch manager about the whole thing.
This is the kind of thing I love
to do. Their department requires it, even though they're not, it's a legal department, but they're not all lawyers, and they have to have the entire trust.
Tony, afterwards, send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. The minute I get off the air, give me your phone number and give me the name of the person at the bank, and I'll do a three-way call, and then I'll give them the link to this podcast. But I want to say something to you. It is your responsibility now. You obviously have a great estate planning attorney who should have given you three or four sets of those empowering pages. I heard you say you wanted to make the trust the beneficiary of an account that you already have there. First of all, you should name the account, and you're going to do that, a money market account in the name of the trust. You should do things like buy treasury bills in an account at Treasury Direct. They will not ask you for the trust papers, by the way, although they have a right to. It uses your Social Security number. You should actually retitle everything. You need to retitle your home, and the bank won't stand in the way of that.
Yeah.
You need to retitle everything in the name of the Tony Family Revocable Living Trust. The person at this Chase Bank branch is wrong, and call and send me an email. And when I get off the air before I walk out of the studio, I'll make that call with you sitting out here in the lobby.
You, in fact, can send them a link to this audio and let them be so
exactly
persuaded. Okay, Tony, good luck to you on that. We're going to go to Cindy next. You're on WGN. Cindy, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because my husband and I are looking into long-term care insurance for ourselves. I have a history of Alzheimer's that runs very deep on my mother's and father's side, so I'm worried that that's going to be an outcome for me. And we want to make sure that our children are not the ones taking care of us. So with doing that, looking into different options, but they are all really kind of expensive. Yeah. And I thought that the long-term care insurance, I'm getting places that tell me that you pay until you use it. And I'm 60. I could pay on this until I'm 90. And right now it's running at like $6,500 a year for us. Is that reasonable?
Okay. Let's back up for a second. Number one, very wise of you to look into long-term care insurance. To date, I have not seen any insurance company look into a genetic history of a family, whether it's heart disease, cancer, or Alzheimer's. So that's just some information that's private and belongs to you. Number two, in the olden days, 25 years ago, you would buy long-term care insurance and the premium would be set and it wouldn't grow up because you got older or because you got sick. And yes, there would be a rider that says the minute you start using it, you no longer have to pay the premiums. But in the last decade, at least, the insurers found out they were losing money. People wanted to go into assisted living. It wasn't like the dreaded nursing home and so forth. And so the premium started going up. And if you buy it on the basis of an annual premium, number one, the premium is high. And number two, it could go up in the future. But if I will say, I'm sure every long-term care insurance agent out there had the same thought. If you think the premiums are expensive, wait till you see what the care costs if you need it.
Does $6,500 sound like a lot to you?
I don't know whether this was for So here's the critical ingredients, and then I'm going to give you a suggestion. The critical ingredients are How many dollars of care coverage a day? Is there inflation protection? Is it simple or compound inflation? There's probably a 90-day waiver of care, where it's an elimination period, and maybe you only get coverage for 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, although with Alzheimer's, you could have a longer term need for it. So we had a show, we did a show just 4 or 5 weeks ago with Brian Gordon, who is my trusted long-term care guy and has been for all my books forever. It's Gordon Associates. And in a minute, I'll give you the toll-free number. It's right in my heart. 800-533-6242. It's Gordon Associates. 800-533-6242. They're up in the northern suburbs. I think it's Lincolnshire. We did this show, and there's a column at Terry Savage called A New Way to Pay for Long-Term Care. So I know I'm taking up time here, but Cindy, do you have an IRA?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, there's a new way to pay for a combined life and long-term care insurance policy, and it's expensive. You may pay over 10 years, lock in the price. And by the way, with this kind of policy, if you die without using it, your heirs get a really nice death benefit. So go to terrysavage.com, scroll down about four columns, and you'll see about long-term care, or have Brian explain it to you. It's expensive. Yes, but it's not nearly as expensive as, oh my goodness, where are we going to put mom? Someone's got to be with her 24 hours a day. 800-533-6242.
Right. Gordon and Associates.
Right. Long-term care, especially. That's all they do.
Good luck, Cindy. Appreciate your call. I hope that helped. Stay in touch. The Money Lady, Terry Savage. The markets are down today, but they still are generally up. Anything else?
This isn't politics. This is a reaction to Tesla's earnings and Alphabet's earnings not being up to snuff. And some other reports of consumer tangentially related to UPS's earnings. They deliver all my packages. I'm very aware of UPS.
Yes.
And there's a sense that if their earnings are down, maybe, and they were the stock dropped 12%, that maybe the consumer might be faltering. But I came across something interesting. You know, we've had, in recent weeks, we had Jim Stack, the bear, warning and keeping his clients about 50% in cash. I talked to him after the market then rallied, and he said, better to be early than late, because the bigger they come, the harder they fall. And then we had Dr. Bob, was this last week or 2 weeks ago, being very bullish on Dow 44,000 at some point. So here's a little fact. Now, don't invest based on this. Since 1928, there have been 24 presidential elections. And in 15 of them, the S&P 500 moved higher during the 3 months preceding Election Day. In 12 of those 15 instances, the incumbent president or party won the election. It's an 87% chance that if the market goes up August, September, October, the incumbent will win. In fact, on the downside, it's even greater when the S&P 500 fell over that three-month period again, starting in a minute, August, September, October. When the market's down, the incumbent party lost in all case but one. I don't know what year that was that didn't work. So I don't know whether your politics predicts the market or whether we watch the market and the night before election day we say, oh my gosh, it's been a great 3 months or a terrible 3 months.
Yeah.
But it's that three-month period. It's not the whole year. Although election years, the market tends to be up historically. It's one of the better years, the four-month presidential election year. But there are down years and up years.
But what's the three-month window then?
It's August, September, October, leading up to the election.
And if it goes
markets,
up?
If the market overall is up during that three-month period, most of the time, 87% of the time, the incumbent party wins.
Boy.
If it's down, like even a greater percentage, don't ask me how there's a little gap there, it's the incumbent party loses. So as we watch the market, okay, I want to tell you.
So where were we in the, so August, September, October.
So we'll start. Well, look,
August 1st.
Yeah, we're close to August 1st. We're at about, let's use the Dow. Because,
well, the bar's pretty high though, isn't it, right now? I mean, it's.
Because we're already up?
Oh, yes, I think that's not
what this is about. It's just that three-month period.
That is the definition of recency bias.
This is a prop bet, as they say
in the
sports world.
Like that.
It's like, how many baskets will he shoot in the third quarter or whatever.
I get it.
Now, I'm going to tell you one other thing, though. I got Jim Stack of Investec, his new letter. And he quoted Ned Davis research. This is a really interesting statistic. One day I'm going to get Jim Stack and Dr. Bob on and let them fight it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so now try and focus on this for a minute if you're driving or whatever you're doing about the market. So far in 2024, only about a quarter, actually 27.2% of the stocks in the S&P 500 index are keeping up with the index, that is, doing better than the index. Only 27.2% so far. Now, when looking back at the last 50 years, there is a dangerous parallel to the final 2 years of the tech bubble in 1998 and 1999. There's a graphic which I can't show you, but in 1997 and 98, below fewer than 30% of the stocks in the S&P 500, just like now, actually we have even fewer now, slightly yeah. fewer, we're keeping up with the index. And every other year, I mean, it's an incredible graphic because every other year you've got lots of, the whole index keeps up with the index. But we've said it's led by tech stocks. It's rotating. We're here seeing more small caps maybe. But we have not had this kind of a non-conformity since the very end of the tech bubble, according to Ned Davis research and a great stock if you subscribe to the InvestTech newsletter, investtech.com.
Are you surprised that when it was announced that Joe Biden was not going to run for re-election, there was not much of a reaction in the market?
I wasn't surprised because this came, let me try and say something without being political here, just as it relates to the economy and the markets. You would have tended to think, historically speaking, that maybe Republicans would be better for business because it would be, quote, lower taxes, less regulation, et cetera. But the vice presidential candidate seems to be, and in his statements, a fan of regulation in the form of the FTC leaning.
Wait, are you
on.
Talking about J.D. Vance?
I'm talking about J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the entire convention when you had the head of the Teamsters Union come on. I mean, my jaw dropped. This just
he's
as an observer.
Appear, but he's going to be at the DNC also.
But the point is, at the Republican convention,
yeah.
the head of the Teamsters was lambasting big business and saying, I don't know if this bears out because there's so much politics here. But so it's what I'm trying to point out is it's not clear cut that a Republican win with these two candidates talking the way they are is necessarily so wonderful for business.
For business.
Okay?
The tariff talk is not good for business.
The tariff talk, there's another piece of it. So that's why I'm not surprised either after the Republican convention or after the Biden withdrawal.
Yeah.
I think that the markets are still trying to figure it out. And you've got tech titans lining up on one side, and you've got other billionaires lining up on the other side. So I don't think we've lived in a more interesting time. There are economic considerations. There are political considerations. There are just basic moral considerations that people have to balance out when they're making their decision. And of course, as a woman, I mean, you know, I mean, I fought for this all my life. There are no laws regulating what men can do with their bodies. So,
appears to me that abortion and immigration will be two of the big issues. And that sign that was on the war room in the Clinton campaign of it's the economy, stupid, is maybe not as salient this year because, however important the economy is, it's hard. A, the economy is doing well, and it's also hard to know if a Republican administration would be better for it.
That's exactly the point I was trying to make. I was not trying to line up on one side on economics or on the market. My own personal views about other issues are my own views. But if you're trying to invest, here's the real point, the reason you have me here, is if you're trying to invest on these old, you know, these, oh, well, a Republican would be better for the economy. I don't think you can say those kinds of things anymore.
Not right now.
With tariffs and so forth in the offing.
Right. Well, and this is a political statement maybe, but it's because I think the Republican Party of Bush and Reagan, that conservative small government, fewer regulations, lower taxes, political party, is not the Republican Party today. It's, and if it is that, it's so many other things that it gets lost.
Exactly. So again, you're worried about your investment. I'm going to come right back to this point I make every time I know we're up against a break.
Yeah, we got a break.
Okay, you're 20, 30, 40. Just keep buying the S&P 500. America will survive and prosper. We have through lots of more troubled times than this. The Vietnam War, the great inflation of the 80s, the dot-com bubble bursting, all and the financial collapse, 2008, 2009. Just keep investing. You're retired. You've made a lot of money in the stock market. The Dow at this moment is just slightly above 40,000. Have some chicken money on the sideline, please, so that you could take your RMDs, so you can take your money out to live on, and you aren't forced to sell stuff if it happens to be down for whatever reason a bear market comes.
Questions for Terry Savage include CDs as investment, long-term health care coverage, and IRAs. We'll answer your questions in just a couple of minutes. Right now, let's update you with more business news and Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Scientists at the University of Illinois Chicago are working on a new antibiotic that'll make bacterial resistance nearly impossible. The new antibiotic attacks bacteria in two ways, which makes it 100 million times more difficult for bacteria to develop resistance. That resistance can make it difficult and sometimes impossible to treat infections. Bacterial resistance can sometimes be fatal, and it's considered to be a global health threat. The UIC scientists have been studying a class of synthetic antibiotics called macrolones that interfere with protein production within cells of bacteria and corrupt the structures of its DNA. Because bacteria would have to fight off both attacks simultaneously, drug resistance would be nearly impossible. UIC researchers worked with Chinese scientists on the antibiotic, but more study is needed before it becomes available for human treatment. Northfield-based Medline Industries may be moving toward an initial public offering. Cranes reports the IPO could value the medical supply company at $50 billion. It's currently owned by private equity. They're reportedly in early-stage talks about an IPO that could happen as soon as spring 2025. Medline is the biggest private U.S. manufacturer of medical gloves, gowns, and other equipment. It has more than $21 billion in sales. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now the business of food. This is Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And if you don't think climate change is real, check out what's going on in Wisconsin right now.
Tropical Wisconsin weather conditions, and we're loving it.
Tropical. That's an apple orchard owner who says because of the warmer weather, his apples are ready to pick way early.
We're 2 weeks ahead of schedule.
Who he is and where you can go to pick apples already. After I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today, there's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox and maybe crank it up and head north of Chicago on 94.
15 minutes north of the Illinois state line.
That's where you'll find Dave Flannery, owner of Apple Hauler. For how long, Dave?
37 years.
Yeah, back in 1993, he wrote down a list of names he thought would be good for his new farm.
The first six names were already trademarked by somebody else, so we ended up as Apple Holler.
And thanks to the unusual weather this year.
Humid, a lot of rain, a lot of heat, great growing conditions.
And his Lodi apples are ready to pick.
It's a very, very, very tart yellow apple, great for pies and apple crisp and things like that.
And there's more to come.
Well, in about a week or 10 days, we'll also have Jersey Max, Fristines, and also Vikings, those three.
Apple Holler raises 36 varieties of apples, and the restaurant and bakery have used apples in every way you can think of. And Dave says they recently found one more.
We also now have hard apple cider, which has been a very big hit that we serve by the glass.
When Dave, a former restaurant owner in Racine, decided to buy the farm, he remembered all the fun he had as a kid at his grandpa's farm in northern Wisconsin, and he wanted to recreate some of that at Apple Holler.
We do wagon rides and pony rides, and there's a huge kids play area, you know, corn mazes and a lot of things for kids to do especially.
But wait, there's more.
Horse-drawn sleigh rides in the wintertime and carriage rides for wedding in the spring and summer.
Apple Holler, one of the first places you can go and pick apples this year, just north of the Cheddar Curtain on 94.
We're open every day of the week, breakfast and lunch.
On the food calendar, it's National Drive-Through Day, and it's National Tequila Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
All right, Terry Savage, can you answer a couple questions from our listeners?
Absolutely.
The money
I'll try.
Lady, Terry Savage, is here. Question for Terry Savage. I recently opened a CD with BMO Alto. I was told I could not put the CD in my trust. Is that correct?
If you opened the account in your own name, then you cannot transfer it into the name of your trust. They should let you change the name on any account, but the CD, that might be a conflict. So maybe you want to wait till it matures or open up a second account in the name of your revocable living trust, and in the future, buy your CDs in the account in the name of your trust.
Hey, Terry, my husband and I have long-term insurance that's paid in full. Is there a chance we would have to pay more down the line?
No, that's a contract. You paid up. You did a 10-pay policy. I did that years ago. It's paid up. And the insurance company will stay in business. And if they don't, there's a state guarantee fund, which isn't funded. But other than that, you went through a great company. They should, they will not be able to come back at you.
But are there limits to what the contract will pay, right?
Whatever the terms of the contract that you had. So if it's $100 a day for 4 years with inflation protection, that's, I mean, now $400 a day 15, 20 years ago seemed like a lot of money. Today, it won't be enough. But if you had inflation protection on it, it should keep up.
You would really want that. But
fully paid up policy is fully paid up. It's a contractual guarantee of the insurance company.
And my only question, Terry, is just for all of our benefit is, okay, I get that. But it may be that the expenses are greater than the contract agrees to pay.
Oh, look, if you need round-the-clock care, $500 a day or $600 a day won't do it today. So, but it'll be a start. And if, here's the thing, you don't have to cover all your expenses, but this will buy your way, especially as things go forward, into a very nice, a much nicer facility than one that accepts only Medicaid, state Medicaid funding.
Hey, Terry, I just retitled my home into my trust with the DuPage County Recorder's Office, and they specifically did not want a copy of any trust documents.
Yeah.
Are they wrong?
No, they're not wrong. The Treasury Department doesn't require a copy of your trust documents if you go to treasurydirect.gov. They reserve the right to ask for them. I'm seriously, as soon as we get off the air, I'm going to call and find out who on earth didn't know the right thing to say at the bank.
Yeah, right. And by the way, that conversation and all of our conversations are always posted at WGNradio.com. You can look for the Wintrust Business Lunch or the John Williams page. And if
Guess
you want
what?
To share these conversations, you can.
They're on my website, too, under right on the homepage. There's a box, WGN Radio, link to our podcast every Wednesday.
TerrySavage.com. Okay, we are out of time. Thank you for coming into the studio.
Always too soon. Thank you.